It's good to see each of you tonight. If you would, turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, it is good to be in your house tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the music that we've heard this evening and just the reminder of the need to desire to be like you in every area of our lives. I pray that you'd help us to have that desire and that we would live according to it. I pray that you'd bless now this effort to preach your word, and God, that you'd help us to apply it to our lives. I pray this in your name. Amen. I didn't tell you what chapter, did I? Well, how about chapter 11? That'll get you closer. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. This evening I'm going to, I'm sure, share some thoughts that I have dealt with in times past, in years past, but if it's repeat information, I do know this by way of the text at least. It's been a long time since we've ever been here. But we're going to look at a single verse in just a couple of moments. Before we do, though, I'd like to relay a story to you that many of you are familiar with. But a few years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, a few of us started riding bikes for the purpose of getting some exercise. Okay? And so I began doing that a few years ago, and I do that for a couple of reasons. I really do enjoy getting out there and riding the bike. I enjoy the exercise that it provides. But there's another reason that I do it, and it is because I recognize my need to do something. It is not good for me to just lay around 12 months out of the year. I don't mind doing it through the winter months. I don't feel guilty doing that. But whenever it starts getting pretty, whenever it starts getting nice, I feel like I need to get up and I need to get out and I need to accomplish something. And so the idea of riding a bike and getting some exercise is something that I enjoy, and it's something that I feel like I need to do. A couple of weeks ago, I took my bike over to the shop in Amarillo and I had them look at it. And I wanted them to take care of some things that were wrong with the bike. And they called me a week later and said, "We've got your bike ready." And there was this sense of excitement. I'm getting my bike back. So I got over there and I got my bike back. I picked it up. I brought it home and I hung it on the rack where I always keep it there in the garage. And I knew that it was ready whenever I was ready. So you know that for the last several days, we've had unseasonably warm weather. So last Friday, because it was beautiful and I got done early here, I sent Brother Randy a text and I said, "You up for a simple ride?" I knew it needed to be an easy ride because it was my first ride. But I said, "Are you up for an easy ride?" And he said, "Yes." So we coordinated what time we would meet. And we met up here at the church and we did this simple little 9-mile ride just out to Bower City and back. And man, it felt good. It felt wonderful to be out on the bike and to start loosening things up and limbering some things up. And it just felt good. So Monday, he texted me and said, "You up for a ride?" And I said, "Yes." So we met here at the church and we went a little bit further and there was some wind and it was a little bit more challenging. But there again, it felt good. It just felt nice to be out there and to get that exercise and to feel that burn and to just know that you're doing something good for your body. It was exciting and it felt good because I know that I need it. It's exciting right now. Here in a couple of months, it won't be near as exciting. Here in a couple of months, we won't be doing 9-mile rides and 10-mile rides, 12-mile rides, whatever it may be. It'll be Brother Randy and Brother John saying things like this: "Hey, I was thinking we could go 30 miles today." They might even say, "We're thinking about trying to do 40 miles today." There are times they tell me what mileage they're planning on doing, and I say, "Enjoy yourself. I have no desire to ride the bike that much tonight, but or this afternoon, whatever the time frame may be." But throughout the summer, here's what I've discovered. It's less enjoyable and less exciting to ride than it was at the beginning of the summer. And it's amazing, toward the middle of the summer and toward the end of the summer, what begins to happen. I get a text from one of those guys saying, you want to ride today? And I began thinking things like this. How strong is the wind blowing? Because if the wind's blowing very strong at all, I don't want to ride. If it's in the middle of the summer and they say, you want to ride, one of the first thoughts I have crossed through my mind is not only the wind, but how hot is it out there? Because it's going to be hot. Sometimes this thought flashes through my mind, man, I can't ride right now. I just ate, and it's no fun to ride on a full stomach. I mean, you just feel sick the entire time you're doing it. Sometimes I get a text that says you want to ride, and it's something like this. Man, I haven't eaten yet, and you can't ride on an empty stomach. Sometimes you get the text and they say, you know, you want to go for a ride? And my thoughts are something like this. Man, it's too early in the day and I don't have time to stop right now. Sometimes I get the text and you want to go for a ride? And oh man, I would have if we had done it an hour earlier, but I just can't do it now because it's too late. You see what happens in my attitude toward riding a bike? It's exciting and it's thrilling at the beginning. It's something that I look forward to. It's something that I anticipate. But the longer it goes and the more frequent it takes place, you know what's easier for to happen or to take place in my life? It's easier for me to let the little things keep me from doing what I know I need to be doing. I know I need to be out there. I know that it's good for me. I know that it's beneficial. I know that, but, you know, the conditions aren't perfect. If the conditions were perfect, if the conditions were just right, I would. But, man, I hate it. I really do. I hate it, but I just can't because of this, that, or whatever it may be. Now tonight we're going to get back to that principle in a couple of moments, but I want us to think about life several thousand years ago. I know that we've tried to do this before, or I've tried to direct our attention in this manner in times past, but I want us to think about what life would have been like several thousand years ago. Without question, we know that it was far different than the life that we live today. So many of the conveniences that we have afforded to us, they could never have dreamed of, they could never have imagined. And one of the conveniences that we enjoy that they could have never imagined was something like a grocery store where you just stopped in, picked up what you needed for supper that night or for your meals that week, and just pay for them and just go home, throw it in the refrigerator, and have everything that you need for the next however many days. You understand that that's not how they could live several thousand years ago. You understand that, right? Okay. So back in their day, something that would have been true of most people that is not necessarily true of us and our culture and our society is this, is that back then, if you wanted something to eat, you probably needed to grow most of it and produce it yourself. If you wanted meat, you probably needed to raise the livestock that you'd be able to slaughter at the appropriate time so that your family would have some meat. If you wanted fruits and vegetables, you needed to be able and be willing to plant and to do what needed to be done. If you wanted something else that the earth could bring forth for you, you had to put forth the effort to plant it and to then harvest it or to reap it. And here is what we know is even today, farming is not a simple occupation. It's not something you do because of the great money and the easy hours, from what I understand. And so certainly a few thousand years ago, you did not farm and you did not plant and you did not do everything that you did simply because of a hobby or simply because of recreation. It was something that a person did for the purpose of survival. Back in their day, farming and everything that went with it, it was based out of necessity. It was a need. It's very important that we understand that farming and everything that went with it, it was done out of necessity. It was a need. Now, I've never farmed a day in my life, but I have paid attention to aspects of farming, and here's what I know. The conditions are not always perfect for a farmer to farm. I've detected that there are days, kind of like a bike rider, and I know that this is a horrible analogy, but just stay with this for a moment. There are certainly days that the new of farming has worn off. This isn't exactly my first day to do this farming gig. This isn't exactly my first year to do my farming gig. So the new has worn off, and I'm sure that there are many times that the body is tired in the midst of this process. And I suspect, just from what I've seen and from what I've heard and from what I've read, that many times the body of the farmer must ache and the muscles of the farmer must hurt. I mean, that is a taxing, taxing job that I personally cannot relate to anything that I have in my past. And then you have to consider this, that for farmers, the weather is not always the most favorable for them in getting done what needs to be done. So if you think about the flow of thoughts, here's what you've got. You've got a farmer, and farming is not a hobby, it is a need, and it is done out of necessity. It's not a thrill anymore, and there are so many things that work against you, and one of the things that would work against you would be the weather. Somebody says, why are you focusing on the weather? Well, you'll notice more in just a moment. You'll understand it better in just a moment. But you've got so many things working against you, the weather being one of them. But the farmer knows it has to be done. So what is it about the weather that could work against them? Well, notice in verse number 4. In verse number 4, here's what Solomon declares. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. What does it mean to observe, and what does it mean to regard? It basically, they mean the same thing. It means this: to give your attention to this. Now, you and I understand that in the realm of farming, that there would certainly be days in which it was not profitable or it was not good by way of timing to go out and do what needed to be done. You understand this, right? There might be days in which the wind was howling and the wind was blowing 30, 40, 50 miles an hour, whatever the gusts may be. And you would look at a scenario like that and you would look at the situation and you would say, okay, as a farmer, this is not the time in which I need to be out, you know, sowing the seed and casting the seed. This is not the day in which I need to be doing that. And at the same time, when it came time to harvest or when it came time to reap the crops that had been planted however many months prior to this, there would be certain days in which you would not need to go out. I mean, back in their day, just like in our day, you could have lightning storms, you could have very bad weather, you could have all different types of things affecting what was going on that day. And so we understand that there were legitimate times and legitimate reasons for a farmer to not go out and sow or for them to not go out and reap. But here's what Solomon alludes to in this verse. That if you give attention to the wind, you will not sow, and if you give attention to the clouds, you will not reap. The idea would be something like this. The farmer wakes up and he knows that the seed needs to be planted, but as he pulls those covers back, he hears the wind blowing just a little bit. As he hears the wind blowing, it's not anything major, it's not anything strong, it's not anything that would be dangerous or ridiculous, but as he hears that wind, you know, maybe blowing through the trees or maybe whipping through the house a little bit, whatever it may have been, if that is what he gives his attention to, you know what he'll do? He'll talk himself out of going out and planting the seed that day. Kind of like I can talk myself out of a bike ride because of some wind or because of some heat or because of a full stomach or an empty stomach or whatever it may be. The farmer could lay there because it's not exciting like it once was, because his body is already aching, his muscles are already sore. As he lays there and he hears this wind, you know, he could easily talk himself out of getting up and doing what he knows needs to be done. So Solomon says, if the farmer, if the individual were to give attention or to observe the wind, he will not sow, and if he regards the clouds, then he will not reap. So he gets up out of bed, the farmer does. Maybe he wakes his children up who would go out and help him. And as he begins to go outside, he looks and in the distance there's a dark cloud. If he focuses his attention on the cloud and the possibility of rain, you know what he can do? He can talk himself out of going out there and harvesting the crop that needs to be reaped, that needs to be harvested. You following this? If that is what the farmer gives his attention to, then the farmer will not accomplish what he knows needs to be done. Now this evening I want to ask you, if you consider the book of Ecclesiastes, if you're familiar with it at all, does it seem as though Solomon, throughout his writings in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, does it seem like Solomon is really focused in on the farmer and agricultural issues? That doesn't seem to be his point of emphasis as you read through the Scripture, okay? That doesn't seem to be what he is mindful of as he is writing these Proverbs and these wise sayings that were being recorded. Okay, it doesn't seem as though that is the point of emphasis in the mind of Solomon. What it seems to be is this, is that Solomon was using an example or an illustration that everyone in their day would have known and would have understood. Everyone understood our agriculture. Everyone understood farming. And so everyone who read these words would have read it and they would have known exactly what he was talking about, that if you give attention to the distractions and if you wait for the perfect conditions to do something, you will never get done what needs to be done. If the wind has your attention, you will always be able to talk yourself out of sowing the seed. And if the clouds have your attention, you will always be able to talk your way out of reaping the harvest that needs to be reaped. For just a moment, think about this. For the farmer who lets his attention be attracted to the wind and the clouds, if he allows himself to be talked out of doing what he knows needs to be done because the conditions are not perfect, not only will he suffer in the long run, those around him who depend on him will also suffer because he failed to do what needs to be done. It's not just the farmer who would be affected by his lack of aggressiveness or his lack of aggression and going out and doing what needed to be done. No, it would be the farmer and his family and whoever else was dependent upon him that would be affected by not doing what needed to be done because the conditions were not perfect for the activity. Now, if you'll think about that principle, if you'll think about that thought for just a moment, I want to deal with a couple of subjects that I think are important and I think they are relevant in our culture today, though we're not dealing with the subject of agriculture and farming. How many of us have ever talked to someone and they've said something like this? I know I need to be in church. They are not currently in church. You're having a conversation with them, and they would say something like this. I know that I need to be in church. What have they just done? They have just recognized, and they have just acknowledged, and they have just admitted that there is a sincere need in their life to be involved in a church. They know it, they know it, they know it. But as they say, I know I need to be in church. I know my family needs to be in church. What is that statement always followed up with? But. I know I need to be in church, but I know that I need to have my family in church, but they understand the need for it to be happening in their lives, but it's not happening. And why is it not happening? It is not happening because all the conditions are not favorable for them to have themselves or their family in church. And so because something else has captured their attention, because they are giving their attention to something else in this world, then what they are failing to do is be a part of or be in what they know they themselves and their families need to be a part of and be involved in. Somebody says, I don't know exactly what you're talking about. Surely you do. You're just not thinking, okay? I mean, you've heard somebody say this. I know we need to be in church, but man, we are just so busy right now as a family. I mean, if things were not so crazy right now as a family, we would be in church. But I'm telling you, I'm so busy at work right now, and my wife's so busy, or I'm so busy, and my husband's so busy at work, and we've got so many things going on. I'm telling you, if we could ever just get things to settle down around the house, we would be there. You know what the problem is they have given their attention to something over here, and because that is what has got their attention, they are using that to justify not doing what they know needs to happen in their spiritual lives. Well, I know we need to be in church, but it's not just, you know, that I'm so busy or my spouse is so busy. I'm telling you what, the kids are so busy at school. They've got so many things going on. I'm telling you, it seems like every night we've got something going on. And because of that, you know, it's so hard to make the time to be in church. You've given your attention to wind and clouds. Because that is what has your attention, you're not doing what you know needs to be happening. I've had people say things like this, Sunday is my only day off. And because it's my only day off, I like to sleep in and I like to just hang out and I just like to relax. And you know, the game comes on at noon and I just, you know, it's just so hard for me to get myself up and to go to church on Sundays. Okay, you know you need it, but here's the problem. You're not doing it because something else has got your attention. And until the perfect circumstance presents itself, until the perfect situation presents itself, this person isn't going to go to church. Well, guess what? They'll never have a perfect situation presented to them. And as long as they place their attention on something other than what needs to be done, something will always keep them from doing what needs to be done. You hear things like this. I know. That I need to give more attention to my spiritual life. You'll hear somebody say something like this, I know that I need to be in the Word more. I know that I need to be praying more. I know that. I need it. But, you know what comes after but? But I'm just so busy. You don't know what time I wake up in the morning. You're right, I don't. But that's just a cloud. That's just wind. If you want to be in the Word, you can find time to be in the Word. But you don't know how late I work. You're right, I don't know how late you work. I don't know what kind of hours you're putting in. I get it, I understand it. But I do know this, that if you're waiting for the perfect scenario to present itself before you get faithful to being in the Word of God, you will never be in the Word of God because there will always, listen, there will always be something that stands in your way of doing what you know needs to be done. I know I need to pray more, but I don't have the time. I don't even know how to pray. I know I need to be doing this. I know that in my personal spiritual life, this is what I ought to be doing. I feel better when I do it. You know, I used to do it. I was excited there for a while to be in the Word and to spend this time in prayer. It used to be really fun and it used to be really exciting. But it just seems like things are so different now. You're exactly right, because the new has worn off and it's not as exciting and as thrilling as it once was. And so now it requires more discipline. But the reality is this, is now from here on out, unless you get your attention off of everything else that wants to get your attention, you will never grow and develop in your spiritual life like you ought. For the person who observes the wind, they're not going to reap. And for the person who regards the clouds, or they're not going to sow. And the one that regards the clouds, they're not going to reap. Spills over into so many other areas of our lives. Think about our marriages for just a moment. Marriage is pretty important, isn't it? My marriage is no more important than your marriage. Your marriage is no less important than anyone else's marriage. Our marriages are pretty important. What do we need to do? We need to give attention to our marriages. We need to be investing in the marriage. And to do so is effort. This may not be the most exciting, but don't be asleep, okay? To invest and to work on the marriage, it is work and it is effort, is it not? And so somebody may say something like this. I know we need as a couple to do some things different, But what? But you don't understand what's going on right now. You don't understand how crazy it is at work. It's so crazy at work right now. I mean, me and my wife, or me and my husband, I mean, we just don't even have time for each other right now. Do we not see a major problem with that thought process? I thought that would get at least a grunt. Do we not see some kind of a problem with that thought process? That we are so busy that we don't have time for our spouse? Let me just say this. Satan does not want us to have a good marriage. Satan does not want us to have a wonderful marriage that honors God and is a picture of, you know, the Lord's relationship with the church. Satan doesn't want that at all. And so I want us to understand something tonight, that we need to make time for our marriage. We need to put forth the effort and we need to invest in our marriages. But there will always be something that tries to keep us from being the husband or the wife we are supposed to be. We didn't mind investing in the relationship 25 years ago. Well, it was fun and exciting back then. Well, it was thrilling back then. I mean, that's when there was some passion and that's when there was some romance. And now we're just a couple of old people just sitting around the house dozing off until it's time for bed. It's not going to get any better on accident. You know what we need to do? Put forth the effort and the energy to invest in this thing and stop looking at all the excuses that would keep us from investing and working in our marriage. Brother Kyle, you don't understand. We're just so busy at work. You know, we've got kids stuff going on. I mean, there are so many things with the kids that they're involved in. I'm telling you, this just isn't a good time. I'm telling you right now, money's tight and this isn't a good time. If you're waiting for the perfect time to be the good husband that she needs, if you're waiting for the perfect time to be the right wife that he needs, let me just tell you something. It'll never present itself. It just won't. What do we need to do? Well, men, here's what we need to do. We need to make the effort, and we need to put forth the effort to just say, you know what, no matter what else is going on at work or whatever it is I'm involved in, I need to work and make sure that my wife feels special. I need to romance her, and I need to spoil her like I did when we first got together and when it was all new and it was exciting. I don't need to keep my attention on everything else that is taking me away from my wife. Let the project set. It's not going to hurt anything. Let whatever you want to do be put to the back burner and give attention to your wife. And ladies, you know what you need to do? Instead of finding excuses as to why you can't, you know, invest in your marriage, you need to put forth the effort to do what you once did when you were dating him and it was still fun and exciting. And you say, I can't even remember how long ago that was. You could if you thought about it. Marriages are falling apart these days because we're not giving them the attention they deserve, because there's always something else that's got our attention. And if we're waiting for the perfect opportunity to be the spouse we're supposed to be, that perfect opportunity will never present itself. You know what our children and grandchildren need? They need us. They just need some time with us. This doesn't mean it has to be big and extravagant and opulent and ridiculous. It just means they need some time with us and just us. Do you know how simple it is to invest in children? It is so simple. Take them to the donut shop and buy them a donut for a dollar. They are thrilled to be at the donut shop. Sit there and visit with them. Sit there and talk to them. Sit there and give them your undivided attention. Our children need it. Our children and our grandchildren need time with us. And listen, it's not ever going to be easy to do it. There will always be something that you could be doing in that time and in those moments. You could be working on this. You could be accomplishing this. You could be getting ahead on this. You could be whatever it is. You've got so many things by way of wind and clouds. But I'm telling you, there will come a day when you look up and you will wish you had given them the time that they needed. But if we're so sidetracked with everything else around us, we will never give our kids, our children, the attention they deserve. They need to be able to talk to us without a cell phone in our hands. They need to be able to talk to us, and we need to be able to visit with them when the TV is not going in the background. We need it. But man, that's hard work. And the older the kids get, the less exciting the thrill is. Oh, when they were babies, we loved, you know, just sitting there and playing with them and listening to them ooh and goo, and we'd play with their feet. And I understand, as the kids get older, that'd be awkward. Hey, Nathan, you know, that would be weird. But me and Nathan just still need some guy time. but I'll have to give up something else maybe that I want to do that. I'm just telling you, our kids need it. We know that they need it. But many times our kids don't get what they need because something else has come up and we let that keep us from it. How many of us have ever said something like this? I need to call them. I need to stop by and see them. I need to run over there and check on them. But the wind is blowing. There's a rain cloud out there. And how many chances and how many opportunities have we had to call someone, to stop in and check on them, to visit with them? How many chances have we missed and lost out on because something else took us from what we knew needed to happen that day? Do we understand the principle here? That there is never a perfect occasion to do what needs to be done. Satan will make sure of that. Whatever it is that needs to happen, Satan is going to make sure that something else gets our attention and something else pulls at us and something else tries to take us away from that. And I'm telling you, so many times we fall prey to giving all of our attention to something other than what is needed on that day. And you really can just draw a blank line there and just start inserting anything else you want to put there. I need to start exercising, but I need to forgive so-and-so, but I need to have more of a burden for the lost, but I need to do this, but whatever we want to put in that blank that we know is a need, Satan wants to keep us from doing what we know needs to happen. And so tonight I'd like to ask you this, and I don't begin to know what the answer would be, but I'd like to ask you this, because you know probably, if you're honest, the answer to what I'm about to ask you. But is there anything in your life right now that you know needs to happen? This really needs to happen. I know that it does. I know that it needs to happen. Can I remind you of this? That if you know something needs to happen and you don't do it, you're not the only one who's affected by it. If the farmer knows he needs to plant, and if the farmer knows he needs to harvest, but he doesn't do it, there are so many more people affected by his distraction with the wind and the cloud. There are so many more people who are hurt by it. Can I just remind us of this, that whenever we know that there is something that needs to happen, but we don't do it, it is not just us who is affected by it. There are many other people who are affected by us allowing ourselves to be distracted and not doing what needs to be done. Is there anything right now that you know, man, I need to be doing that? I need to do that. Maybe even tonight, I need to. Here's the last thing, and I want this to be very clear. Did you know that as you read through the scripture, a farmer was able to do everything he needed to do and never violate the word of God? Okay? Somebody says, I don't even know what that has to do with anything. Because here's what happens. A lot of people say, well, I need to do this. And as a result of deciding they need to do this, they start doing things that violate what God's word already teaches against. And what God's word already declares. Well, okay, and if some of you might look a little confused on this, so let me illustrate. Some say things like this. Well, we need to start spending more time together as a family, so we're going to stop going to church. I've talked to people like that. No. Do you not understand that you're able to do what you need to do without violating the Word of God? Well, I need to invest more in my marriage, you know, and I need to make her feel more special, so I'm not going to be able to tithe. No. That's not how it works. Now, you think that the logic isn't that flawed out there. I promise you, the logic is that flawed out there. We can do what needs to be done while remaining faithful and obedient to the Word of God. All we've got to do is stop focusing on all the distractions and just do it. And God will make sure that we have the resources and the ability and the time to get it done. All right? Let's all stand tonight and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, as I come to you this evening, I pray that you'd help us to be men and women who not only know what needs to be done, but that you'd help us to not get distracted by everything else that would take us away from it. God, we know in our own personal lives what needs to happen if we're honest. I pray that you'd help us to just put away those things that, again, have our attention. And Lord, that you'd help us to be faithful to do what we know needs to be done. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.